If you would please turn back with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'd like to read beginning with verse 13 and read down through verse 16. Verse 13 through verse 16. Where the Word of God says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." I felt somewhat moved by the Spirit of God to speak to you this morning from these verses that I've read to you. I do hope that the Lord is in it. I trust that it'll be a time of edification, a time of encouragement, a time of preparation for all of our hearts. I call this message this morning an inscription for the headstone of the saints of God. An inscription for the headstone of the saints of God. And we find that in verse 13 in these words, "These all died in faith." These all died in faith. Now it tells us here that believers constitute a class by themselves. These. Certainly, they are a class made by the providence and sovereignty of God, a class that is distinct. We know there are two classes of people in the world, and that is believers and unbelievers, as far as God is concerned. We see a great many distinctions in the world which God takes no notice of. The Bible says that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, in his sight. God takes no notice of many of the distinctions that men make in this world, but there is a distinction which men think little of, which is greatly observed by God. And it says, "Them that believe." These all died in faith. These that believe, these that trusted God. And so this is the distinction that God observes. Them that believe and those that believe not. And this is the two categories of men and women in this world. Are you a believer this morning? Are you a believer? Are you a believer through grace? Are you a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust Him? Are you relying upon Him? Are you in Christ? Now, beloved, faith brings us out of darkness into light. Faith it is that brings us across the border, so to speak, brings us out of the condition of being lost in a state of nature into being saved in a state of grace. And it brings us out of bondage into glorious liberty. It brings us out of death unto life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust Him? Have you been brought to faith by the effectual working of God's Holy Spirit? Now, the most important thing under heaven is that we should know that we believe on the Lord Jesus. You remember the Philippian jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul told him, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And so the most important thing under the heavens is that we know that we believe. That we believe and that we know that we believe. Now, believers in our class then by themselves, and even when they die, they're in a class. It says, "These all died in faith." Now, there are many that die outside of Christ. They're without Christ. They're without God. They have no hope. And they die in a hopeless state. without Christ, without God, without any hope for eternity whatsoever. But the sheep of Christ, they die, and they die in faith. They sleep in Jesus and are blessed. How kind their slumbers are. But these, they all die in faith. Now they're all alike in this, that they all lived and they all died in faith. They all lived and they all died in faith. Now some were weak in faith, I'm sure, and some were strong in faith. I do not know how long these various ones pilgrimage in the way of faith, how long their travels were with the Lord, but strong or weak, the Bible says that their ultimate end was they died in faith. They died in faith. They died trusting the Lord. They died relying on the Lord. The just shall live by faith. These lived by faith, and they died in faith. But they had faith, and it continued in them to the end. So without exception, we read that these that are mentioned here that we read about this morning early, from Abel right on through Abraham, and then on various others that are mentioned here in this chapter, that these all died believing God. They all died trusting in the Lord. Well, here is dying in faith. Well, what does it mean to die in faith? What does it mean? Well, first of all, when these people came to die, they did not have to seek faith. They already had faith. Now, I don't know too much about deathbed repentance. I can't say too much about it. And as one old writer said, where we know little, we had better say little. And I think he's right about that. There's many, many things that we don't understand fully. And I'm not saying that nobody ever gets saved on the deathbed. I just won't say that. I think it's more rare maybe than we suppose. But I'm not here to say this morning that nobody gets saved. We have hope sometime, because there are certain things that people say that indicate that 'tis done, the great transaction's done, even though they're right at death's door. There's indication that they have believed God and trusted and relied upon the Lord, and that the Lord has done a work in their life right there on their deathbed. There are many indications to that. And for that, we can praise the Lord. We give thanks unto God. That's His business. That's His business. It's not mine to set up a system of rules and regulations as to how God can save a sinner, when God can save a sinner, and who He can save. The Lord's able to do that, and He'll take care of that. But there's one thing about these that the Bible mentions here, that they didn't have to seek faith when they came to die. And I'll tell you this, the best thing for you to do this morning, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to begin to seek it while you're young and while you're healthy. Begin to seek the face of God, that you might find faith in the Lord, that the Lord might give you this gift of faith, like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that you might find the faith of the gospel, and that you might have it well fixed in your heart to live with and to die with. Seek it while you're young, because there are times when people at the end, you know, they go into a coma and they're not able to talk. They're not able. You can't talk to them, and they can't converse with you. And you're not able to. And I remember hearing the testimony of several people who had been at death's door and then back. And they said that if they had to sought the Lord for faith and sought the Lord for salvation in that hour, they'd have never been able to do it, because of the fact that they were so out of it. And their minds had went back into a state where they were not able to deal with anything as serious and important as faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my advice to you is seek the Lord now. Cry unto God now. These all died in faith. They didn't have to seek it when they were a-dying. They did die, however. And this is a point that I want to make. These all died in faith. They did die. However, although they had faith, for faith is not given to us that we may escape death, but that we may die in the comfort of the gospel, that we may die in the comfort of everlasting hope, that we may die knowing that our sins are behind us and that they're not going to meet us out there at the judgment, knowing that there is nothing in eternity that ought to make us to fear, because our Lord Jesus Christ has triumphed over death, and the Lord Jesus has slept in the grave, and because he slept there, he made it a comfortable bed for all of his saints. And we die in faith, we die in the comfort of the gospel. But faith is not given to enable us to escape death. And so don't ever entertain that idea. It is not given for that reason. These all died in faith. Now some think they won't die. But saints die as well as sinners. David died as well as Saul. And John, the beloved who leaned on the breast of Jesus, he died the same as Judas. Judas died, of course, took his own life. But John also died. And so believers die the same as do unbelievers. They do die. Now we believe that hundreds and thousands and yea millions of true, strong believers have died, and we expect to die also. We expect to die also unless the Lord Jesus should come in the heavens and that we be caught up with him. Unless Christ comes back, we expect also to join all these that have died in the faith of the gospel. Now this proves that God in every case will not hear our prayer for recovery to health of those that are sick. These all died in faith. You suppose that none of these that are mentioned here in our text had nobody to pray for them? You know, we have those in the religious world. They're ignorant. They're ignorant as they can be. But they imply that if everybody that was afflicted had somebody just to pray earnestly enough for them, that they would all be delivered. In other words, their idea is that God relinquishes his omnipotence to the praying saint, and the praying saint can pray well anybody that is afflicted and sick if they will pray earnestly enough. This is contrary to the word of God. God never, on any occasions ever, relinquishes his omnipotence and puts it into the hands of a man. He does not do that. God's will be done as we pray for the sick, as we pray for the afflicted. Now look at this in this way. Say God did relinquish his omnipotence into the hands of the loved ones of those that were sick and afflicted and said, now it's up to you whether they live or die. You pray them out of this. And if they die, it's your fault. It's your responsibility if they die. Now look at what a terrible, terrible thing that would be. What an unjust thing that would be. How foolish that would be. How stressful that would be. God Almighty does not put his omnipotence into your hand, and the responsibility, while it is your responsibility to pray for those that are sick and afflicted, the responsibility of the outcome of their case is not in your hands. It's in God's hands. And you have to learn to leave it in God's hands. You leave it with the Lord. And you trust God and you submit yourself to the will of God and trust that God will bring to pass that which pleases him and will glorify his name. This is so important to see, because we have so many that feel that they have this obligation and responsibility. And just look how a man would feel if his wife got sick and died. Look how children would feel if their father got sick and died and they couldn't pray him up. They were not able to pray him out of his affliction. Look how they would feel. Look how guilty they would feel, and they would carry that the rest of their life. God is the author. He is not the author of any such confusion and such silliness as that. And so I want you to remember that, and may the Lord bless you with those thoughts. And also I think it means that these all persevered to the very end in the faith of the gospel. They persevered to the very end. Now, I certainly am a believer in eternal security. And I believe that God's people They keep believing God unto the end. Now their faith may become very, very weak at times, and they may feel that they themselves have maybe failed many, many times miserably along the way, and they may feel that they're not worthy of anything that God has done for them or is about to do for them. But yet the Bible says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Shall be saved. Not might be saved, but they shall be saved. And I know that grace lives to the very last in those that God brings out of sin and brings to himself. And it triumphs at the very close of a man's life. Grace will triumph. Grace lives to the end, and it will triumph at the close. And I do not believe that God will ever start something in a man and then fail to bring it through. The Lord is going to bring his people through. Though they sin through infirmity, they shall not sin fatally, not sin finally, but they shall persevere in holiness and in the love of God. The Bible says the path of the righteous is a shining light that shineth more and more into that perfect day. And the hands of those that are clean shall be clean and clean and clean as the Lord by his grace purifies them. In the book of Peter, it speaks of us being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, that is, by the word of God. And do you know what it says? It says that incorruptible seed by which we are born again, that it liveth and it abideth forever. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, you may get something out of that I don't get out of it. But what it means to me is that the seed which God put into my heart, which is the seed of everlasting life, that this is incorruptible and it lives and it will abide forever. Meaning that it ain't going to die. That it's not going to die. Means that a child of God will persevere even unto the end. Well, this is what it means to me. And then I think there's some other things that it means. And I think it means this. They died in faith. These all died in faith. And I think it means also that they never got beyond faith. Never got beyond it. They just kept believing God. And never did they get beyond faith. Now this is so important. You know, there's some people that believe that you receive Christ by faith. And not too many people deny that you receive him by faith. But then after you receive him, then you're off to Moses or you're off to the law for sanctification. And that you get beyond faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, you get beyond it. Well, can you imagine Abel or Noah or Enoch or Abraham or Isaac or Sarah? Can you imagine them getting past faith or getting somewhere or another way down the line from faith? Well, as I read about these people in the scripture, it seems to me that their whole life, that was what characterized their life. It was faith, faith, faith. And the Bible says four times over, the just shall live by his faith. That's how he lived, and you never get past it. You just keep on believing God. Keep on trusting God. You say, preacher, I thought I'd get past this business of just believing sooner or later. No, you won't. Not till you die. No, you won't. You won't get by this business of faith. You won't get past it. You must keep on trusting in the Lord. Now, some having begun in the Spirit, as we said, they're afterward made perfect, they think, by the flesh. Faith is the sinner's simple trust, but some, they want to go to something else, and some call it a second blessing, and I wish they'd seek a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, or seventh, or eighth, or ninth, or a tenth, but there are 10,000 times, 10,000 blessings to seek for the child of God here in this world. And I'll tell you, we seek every one of them by faith. We know that God made many promises to his people, and we never get past believing that the God that gave the promises is able to accomplish what he promised. And wasn't that what Abraham and Sarah believed? When they were past the age of having children, the scripture we read it this morning, that she judged him faithful who had promised. And Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised he was able to perform. Right up to the end. I mean, when he was 110 and she was 100. They just kept on believing God. They never did get past it. And you won't ever get past it if you're a child of God. There ain't no place where you're going to get. You know, some people they say, well, I believe in rocking chair religion. And I believe someday we'll just get where we can just sit down and just rock our way away. Well, you know, rocking chair is fine. It gives you something to do, but you don't get nowhere. You don't get anywhere in a rocking chair. And this religion, rocking chair religion, there ain't anything to it. You're going to keep believing God. And there's going to be trials come to you even on your deathbed. And there's going to be, Satan is going to keep on harassing and bothering you to the very day that you go into the grave. He's going to keep on bothering you and harassing you. You're going to have to keep believing God and settle that right now. Don't think you're going to get to the place where you're going to be able just to rock and sit back and there's not going to be any struggles and there's not going to be anything to endure. No, that is not going to happen. That's not that's false expectation. And it's not going to be. You got to keep on believing God. These all died in faith. They all died believing God and trusting him right up to the very end. Now then, but the mercy is this. The mercy is this, that while they did die, they never did get above faith and they never got below it. They still had faith when they come to die. I'm sure that they had many, many dark days, many dark times as they pilgrimage here in this world, but they never got above it and he never got below it. They just kept on believing God, and these all died in faith. They all died in faith. You ever have any real dark days? Did you ever have any time when you were very suspicious of yourself, whether you had anything or whether you didn't? You ever have any time when you wondered whether or not you knew the Lord or whether you did or didn't? Well, I'll tell you what, these people might have had those kind of times, but all I know is about them is these verses say they died in faith. They all, every one of them, died in faith. Now, what was the faith they died with? Well, they'd received a great deal, but they had not received the fullness of the promises. We read there in verse 13, not having received the promises, but they seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now Abraham did not see all of his seed. And you remember that, therefore sprang there even of one in verse 12, and him as good as dead, because he was 110 years old. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, they didn't see all of them. They're still being born into the world. And he didn't see them all. Many of these promises that the people of God and Isaac nor Jacob, they never seen Shiloh, which is Christ, but yet it was promised. And you and I have not received all the promises that have been promised to us in the Word of God. The glorious second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the brightest hope of the church. That's yet future as far as we're concerned. We're looking for that. Looking for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will change these vile bodies and make them like unto his own glorious body, according to the power whereby he's able to subdue all things into himself. That's a glorious promise. And we're looking for that. But we haven't received that promise yet. We just keep on believing that God is going to make these promises good. I believe that Jesus is coming. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. He will come back to this earth. Christ is coming, and one day he's going to come in the sky and he's going to receive his own unto himself. We're going to be caught up together and we're going to be with the Lord forever. It's going to come to pass. And heaven, we don't know a lot about that except just what God's promised. The white robes, the palms of victory. We're looking and we're expecting. And when we die, there are going to be many of these things maybe that'll never be fulfilled to us until we get to heaven and we see these things there with those spiritual eyes that God gives us. But these things we're looking for. And I expect if I die before Jesus comes, I expect to come back with him when he comes back to this earth. I expect to come back with him because he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints, Enoch said. And I believe he's coming back to this earth, and I expect to come back with him. Now notice they saw them afar off here in verse 1. Now how did they see them? How can you see something afar off? Well, they saw it by faith. They were convinced of it. Verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. These blessings and these promises you can't see with the naked eye, but the eye of faith, you can see them afar off. And I don't know how far off the second coming of Christ is, but I can see it. I can see it, and I believe it. And it's no fiction to me. It is a certainty that our Lord is coming back to receive his own unto themselves. Now the scripture says they were persuaded of them. What is your persuasion? Well, I believe that he is able to keep them and keep that which we have. As Paul said, he said he was persuaded that God was able to keep that which we had committed unto him against that day, the Lord. And then over in Romans 8 there, we read where that Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor things to come, other things that are mentioned there, that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, I'm persuaded. I know some things and I believe some things. And so they were persuaded of God's promises. They were not mere speculation to them. Somebody said, that's a myth, the Lord's coming back. Somebody said, that's an airy nothing that the Lord's coming back. But to the child of God, it's an absolute certainty. The child of God says it's certain he's coming back. There's nothing uncertain about it. The Lord's coming. There's going to be a resurrection. God's people are going to be raised out of the dust of the earth and are going to have a glorified body, a body like the Lord Jesus Christ has. And that is a certainty. It's not a matter of speculation to the child of God. So the saints embraced the promises. Now that word embraced in the Greek is salute. They saluted these promises. One fellow, he explained it like this. He said he was up way up on a mountain, and there was one of his friends that was way down below, and he hollered out to his friend, and his friend down below acknowledged, and he could hear him. He could hear him quite well, really, and so he kind of saluted him from up on the mountainside. And it would have taken him a long time to get down there to where his friend was, but he saluted the friend from afar off. And that's kind of what this word embrace means. They embraced the promises of God. They did so by faith, or saluted them. I mean, it was they were friends. These promises were friends to these believers. And they acknowledged that they were certain and true by embracing them. Now, note, if you will, there's something else here I want us to see this morning, and that is how do we live if we live by faith? How do we live? Just a few words about that. I think the text here is very plain on. We said four times over the scripture says that the just shall live by faith. Well, how do we live if we live by faith? How do we manifest that we got faith and we expect to die in that faith? Well, these, we read in this 13th verse that they, after they embraced the promises, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And so I believe that this faith, that is the faith of God's elect, the faith of the gospel, that it causes men and women that have it to confess that they're strangers and pilgrims in the earth. So we are. We're strangers and pilgrims. Now we're strangers by a new nature. We're born from above and in the world, but we're not of the world. The world knows us not, the scripture says. So we're strangers in this world. If God had not planted his new nature in you, then you would be just like all the other worldling sinners around you. But God made a difference. He put a difference. He put his nature in your life. He put his nature right into your soul. He sent Jesus Christ to indwell you by the Holy Spirit. And Christ lives in his people. And that makes you a stranger in this world below. Now, strangers as to what we pursue in this world. Well, the world's not interested in truth. They're not interested in hearing the truth, believing the truth. But the Bible says for the children of God to buy the truth and to sell it not. And the people of God have bought the truth. And they're pursuing after God's sovereign truth. Now, we are traveling home from a far country, and we must move along. We're looking for that heavenly city. And it's like a fellow, you know, he's coming back. And I got an awful habit of doing this, that when I'm traveling back from back east, I don't tarry anywhere. I don't fool around any place. And those that are with me many times, they suffer because I don't fool around. If I get started home, I'm like the horse. You turn him loose and he runs from the barn. And we used to have a horse that my dad plowed corn with. Take him away from the barn and you could tell it was a distinct difference in the way he pulled that plow away from the buildings. And when you turned him around at the other end, he always thought this is the trip home, and he always pulled faster and better coming back toward the barn. But then he was disappointed again when you pulled them reins and turned him around, plodded along, going back, then turned him around. Back he came in a hurry. So that's kind of the way the people of God are in this world. We believe God, and we're strangers and pilgrims here, and we're hastening to get out of this place, and we're traveling for that far country, and we must move along. We're pilgrims in object. We're not here for a pleasure excursion. We're not here to have fun. We're not here just to have a big time. We're not here to loiter. We're not here just simply to take our fill of this world and to use it to the furthest extent. We're not here for that purpose. We're journeying to the temple of God to behold the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're on our way to another world. And faith declares that we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And we're saying this very plainly when we live by faith in this world. Now then, hinder me not, because I must go onward to the journey. Pilgrims we are as to continuance. We do not expect to be here long, do you? We don't expect really to be here long. Some of us have been here for a while. But each time we bid each other good night, it may be the last time here. Maybe all over with. We know life is short. We know it's very brief. And we know the scripture bears that out over and over again. And boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you know not what a day might bring forth. You don't know anything about tomorrow. To die, we know it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And we know that there is no discharge from that war. We know that we're going to die. The scripture says the living know that they're going to die. And there ain't any question about it. We don't expect to be here very long. Next time we have worldly trouble, we should keep this in mind. We're pilgrims and strangers here. It won't last long. It won't last long. We got some problems, but they won't last long, because our lives are short-lived. Then the problems will also be short-lived. And that you might as well. And when you are tempted to rejoice in earthly treasures, don't rejoice in anything earthly. Don't do it. Say to yourself, I must give these up soon. And I'll be leaving them, or they'll be leaving me, one or the other. And so I dare not rejoice in the things of this world, the fleeting things of time, because they're soon going to be gone, or I'm going to be gone. And so I'll rejoice not. I'll rejoice only and I'm hastening fast towards my own country, where I'm going to hear my own language spoken and abide with the Father forever. Isn't that wonderful? We're on our way to glory, and there's a language spoken there that's our language, and we're going to be with the Lord forever, and we're hastening on. And that's how this faith manifests itself. You just get the idea when you're around a real pilgrim on earth, that fellow's on the move. He's going someplace, and the people of God are on the way home, on their way home to glory, on their way home to be with our Lord. Now then, this faith of ours, what is the faith by which we're able to endure such a life as this in this world? Let me just describe it a little bit. Our faith is one which we will avow. We declare plainly that we seek a country. We're not ashamed to say, this is not our home. This is not our rest. We're not ashamed of that. Every believer in Christ is going to be with him forever. John 17, 24 says, the Lord Jesus prayed to the Father and said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory which you gave me before the world was. And we're on our way to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the change from this world to the next, it's important for us to see that there's no loss about it. There's no loss about it. The change, when it comes. Now, you see, the idea that, you know, hang on to this world and everything in it and get a good grip on it and just hang in there, you know, and weep and cry and faint when it's gone is ignorance. Spiritual ignorance is what it is. It's spiritual ignorance. The change from this world to the next has no loss about it. When a man living in this world, having the faith, and I mentioned a few weeks ago about a little experience I had back when I was a little boy about in the Nazarene church. Well, I remember how long-faced them people were. That's one thing I remember about them, how long-faced. And I got the opinion by listening to them that if I ever got saved, I could never play marbles again. If I got saved, I could never shoot a slingshot again. If I got saved, I couldn't hunt rabbits again. Be no way in the world I could do anything. Long-faced bunch of people, just a long face that even in the 30s, it would have cost $4 to give them a shave. I mean, they were long-faced people. And you know, people sometimes, they get the idea, you know, that this change from this world to that, what a horrible, horrible thing, what an awful loss it's going to be. But my friend, it's not so. It's not so. There is no loss about it. Because the Bible says it's unspeakable gain. The Bible says to die and to be with Christ is far better than being in this world. It's better to go yonder to be with the Lord. And the Scripture says that the day of one's death is better than the day of his birth into this world. Do you believe that? You believe the Word of God? Can you believe what God said? God said the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. And so just believe what the Bible says and shorten up that faith and just wait on the Lord and avow this faith that you have and believe what God said. Wait on the Lord and avow this faith that you have and believe what God said in his word. Arise and be glad. We shall go there to celebrate the triumph of the Lamb over sin and Satan. We're going to there go there be the Lord. Well, if a fellow's right spiritually, he could laugh a little bit right here. He really could. He could laugh a little bit. You know, people that are afflicted, greatly afflicted. Some have been on beds of affliction. And I've known some in my lifetime that were afflicted greatly. Unable to get up, unable to move about. All the bed sores and all of the afflictions that comes with it. And you know, a child of God, knowing that they're going to have a new body, knowing that they're going to get out of this situation, knowing they're going to get away from this pain, knowing that they're moving on up, knowing that things are going to be different, and they're not going to lose nothing, they're going to gain everything, and they're going to have a body, and no pain, they're going to have a body that's not diseased, a body that's not afflicted, a body that is absolutely healthy, perfect, just like the body of our Lord. It's a place to laugh, brother, sister. It's a time to enjoy the things of the gospel and the things of Christ, and knowing that we're going home to celebrate the triumph of the Lamb, His victory, redeeming His people from their sins. The day dawns, and until the full light has come, let us rejoice in the anticipation of that day until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. These all died in faith. Listen to this poem. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before Thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. May God bless you this morning and give you the ability to retain some of these things that we have spoken to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit this service unto Thy hands. We ask that You would accomplish Your purpose. If there's a poor soul here today looking for consolation and comfort, might they be given faith right now to believe that God hung His Son on a cross to die in order that we might be saved from our sin, and in order that we might finally someday be able to leave this world in faith, in a state of trust and confidence in God, and be able to ascend up yonder to glory and to be in His presence forever. Thank You, blessed Lord, for Your provisions for us. Do prepare us to see Thy face, and give us through grace, our Father, that hope that is both steadfast and sure. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.